Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, Lucy Freeman, Jeff Thomas, Matt Rodriguez-Payne and James Everett. Now, before we make a start on your emails, let's have a recap on what happened this week in Ambridge.
We began the week on the green while Lillian was gamely trying to explain the rules of the Easter egg badminton marathon rugby relay match and Jolene was doing her wobbly voice to convey anxiety. Harrismont was doing his wobbly voice to convey apprehension and George was doing his determined voice to convey his eagerness to spend a romantic night with Tilly Button at Gay Grables rather than in a ditch at the bottom of Lakey Hill like normal. Rather upsettingly, we woke up the next morning in bed with Miranda and Brian. Justin popped in to ask Brian if he fancied a round of golf, and Brian smugly told him he'd already done a hole in one.
Good one!
Miranda spent approximately 20 minutes in Ambridge and decided she felt part of the community, which seemed a little precipitate. In my village, you're not allowed to be part of the community or have an opinion on anything until you've been here 20 years, and even then it can only be about parking or the ice cream van. Now, here's a blast from the past. A new Grundy wheeze, namely putting a funny voice on Bartleby in the hope that George could get his audience into double figures, i.e. two. I was dreading this, but it turns out Bartleby is apparently going to be the village equivalent of the Daily Mail sidebar, which is surely only going to be interesting to those within a two-mile radius of Ambridge itself. Don't start investing in crypto with your earnings yet, Georgie. Although judging by Emma's jumping-the-gun decisions, like leaving a regular wage to prepare for a job that doesn't exist yet, it's hereditary. It was Harry versus harassment at the Chilcot Inquiry. Entirely in character, Alice chuntered loudly throughout the inquiry about how she was feeling about it all. She very nearly drowned out the audience that were coughing and shuffling away like a load of old blokes on a park bench. The upshot was that harassment has kept his job, but he's only allowed to ride his pedal car on the pavement, not the road, for 2 years. And in the unlikely event he might be in a position to arrest anyone, he's not allowed to anymore. He just has to ask them to wait there until he gets a grown-up. Harry did do a relatively good, if slow, job. I'd hoped that was because it was his last appearance and he was milking it. But it turns out he is planning on hanging about. He felt a bit icky, which apparently necessitated Alice accompanying him to the doctor for absolutely no reason, to the extent that she even drove him there and sitting in there with him and chipping in and then telling his mum. Eve recounted the tale of Harry's disastrous previous marriage, which would have set klaxons going for any normal woman, but Alice seemed to take it as some sort of challenge. The booze has clearly had a deleterious effect on Harry's short-term memory as he has to keep repeating Alice's name. Jolene has finally confessed all, thank the Lord, so she could stop wafting around the village looking anguished. Kenton and Jolene decided to celebrate by having a snog and spending a night behind the bar together on full display on the day that she'd reported her attacker to the police. Genius. Harrismont and Fallon did a bit of celebrating themselves until Robert Snell decided to join them for an unexpected threesome. Well, it was his birthday. The end.
Yeah, it was all a bit awkward threesomes this week, wasn't it?
Yes.
Oh, but I love Miranda, Brian and Lillian and Justin. I love, just because actually when Lillian and Justin are, they're the opposite of Alice and Harry. Because when Alice and Harry are falling out, it's all quite painful. But when...
I can't do it, Alice. Not without you, Alice. Will you come with me, Alice?
Oh, God. It's so funny because I noticed that as well. I didn't even know whether to bring it up, but I ended up just going, stop it!
Yeah.
Because he couldn't... I mean, I assume it must have been written down in the script, but... He can't say anything, Alice, without pause, Alice, repeating the name. And it's, and she does it as well, to a lesser extent.
Harry, yes.
But why is it so annoying?
Because they are annoying.
Because
anything
that's not how you talk to people.
Is annoying. Mm.
It's when, I think it's something like, I guess if you're writing a script, I suppose, actually, when somebody says your name, they're making a point, aren't they? And they're really trying to really pinpoint. I don't know. They're trying to.
Well, it's a rhetorical device to keep doing that, to drag somebody, to keep them engaged.
Hammering it in. Yeah.
And make sure that you're saying, you are the only person that can help me.
But it's so annoying to
listen to. It is really annoying.
And when
those
two are...
Not as annoying as the whole codependency thing, which he must have been told about, but decided to ignore.
Clara Teal? What? Who?
Oh, codependency.
What's that?
What he's doing.
Oh,
he's
as in...
basically saying, if you don't do this, I will carry on drinking and die.
Yes.
And then she'll start doing it, and then he'll say, you're not doing what I want, so as a result of that, I'm going to drink and die, and it'll be your fault. And it's she's just... It's Rob and Helen all over again, but in a slightly different... With a sort of dependency angle.
But as you said, she just couldn't help herself.
No.
She could have... Not, I think she drove him to the doctors because she thought he was worse for wear, didn't she? But then I would have thought that Dr. Malik would have sensed that Alice didn't want to be there.
Yes.
And it was a bit, as you said, it was getting a bit Rob and Helen. And I think she would have picked up on that and said, it's probably best if you step out now. I'm going to have a chat with Harry here. Yeah. Yeah, it was all, and I just thought, I can't do this, Lucy.
No.
I feel like Eve.
Yeah, yeah.
I cannot.
She is such a good actress.
So good. She's so good. Julia Aubrey.
Amazing.
I have to say, she really is. She's a bit like Jasmine Hind, Hyde, sorry. They're like radio gold. They're like, gold liquor. No, that's the wrong word. Elixir. That's the right word. Is it? One of them.
Elixir.
Elixir.
Yeah.
They're sort of, do you know what I mean? Gold liquid. Liquid gold.
Okay, right. Yeah, possibly I've lost track now, but anyway, I get the gist. They're good. They're
really good actresses.
Yes.
Really bloody good. Yes, she's so believable, wasn't she? Because she didn't overdo it.
No.
She just sort of, she just
sat back.
If
that had been Alice, she'd have been chewing bits out of the wall.
I guess it's just a different character and a different style, but it was... Her weariness was so believable, and we all felt like that.
And her unwillingness to... She could feel Alice trying to pull her in.
Yeah.
And her unwillingness to engage, and her awareness that, I know this is making me sound awful. I know I'm his mother. I know this is making me sound awful, but you don't understand. And, it's...
I would never do that to my Martha! And she was like... Yeah, okay. Just give it a few years because you have not experienced what I've experienced.
That was beautifully portrayed as well, that kind
it was
of
actually,
relationship.
I thought actually it's a great way to see the other side, how this could have gone for Alice.
Yeah, yeah.
The other side of the story where you do get the same sort of support as Alice, but you can't kick the addiction.
Yeah.
And eventually your parents or your family or your loved ones can't keep supporting you.
Yeah.
Can they?
There
comes a point where that's impossible.
It's an awful phrase that gets used, which is tough love, which is when you have to, you kick the heroin addict out and you say, no, you can't come back and, sell our telly or whatever again. But it's, I don't think it should be called that because that makes it sound slightly... sort of Victorian parentish or slightly punitive. And it's not that. It's about you have to make a choice at some point between someone who is hell-bent on destroying themselves and you have to recognise that you can't stop them and protecting the rest of the family.
Yeah. And yourself.
No. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really, really sad, wasn't it? That whole scene.
But just really well written and really well played.
Yeah, as we were saying earlier, before we started recording, such a great week and so well written, and some of the dialogue was amazing.
Yeah,
and some of it was so funny as well.
Yes,
scrambled eggs. Can I smell something? Oh, I've just been cooking scrambled. I don't know why that made me laugh, but it did.
It's funny, isn't it, that Justin is now having an affair, basically, with his ex-wife.
I love it. Yeah. I just really like this turn of events. And because I like, I mean, Justin and Lillian can obviously be really annoying, like they were when they fell out over Christmas. But when they're at each other, are you there, caller?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I'm paranoid that we're going to keep breaking up.
Sound like Harry.
Hello, Alice. Hello, Lucy. Lucy.
Harriet.
Lucy.
Harriet.
But I love it when Lillian and Justin are all a bluster and...
You don't think, do you? Because it crossed my mind this evening.
Go on.
That Harriet... Because did you hear Miranda's giggle when Justin left?
No.
When he said, well, when he came round to borrow the tent.
Oh, because it was so funny that was yeah. That was brilliant.
Of all the things.
Yeah.
You know, of two of the most unlikely people
down as
in
a
the world.
Oh, it was so funny.
So
Southern France or Black Forest.
Yes, he's not going to go. The Brecon Beacons, actually. When she shut the door on him, she did a little giggle. And I thought, are you enjoying this? Do you think... Yeah. That Miranda and Justin are going to get back together again and Brian and Lillian will.
No. I did think I'd say 70% of her is doing this for revenge to get at Justin. And 30% is just enjoying her, you know, having sex with Brian.
Yeah.
No, but Lucy, fair do. Why shouldn't we enjoy Miranda and Brian as much as we do Fallon? I was going to say Fallon and Jolene.
I don't enjoy Fallon, Jolene, or anybody. I don't mind them doing it. I don't want to hear it, and I don't want to be in bed with them either.
No, I know.
I don't like the duvet rustling because I think what is happening under there? Who is moving? What is moving? Keep still. Nobody move.
Oh, what is moving, Brian? No, what I don't like is that sort of post-coital voice.
The
sort of sleepy.
Yeah.
Oh, wasn't it? It was. Scrambled eggs, darling. It's just a bit yucky. But then I also thought, good on them.
Yes. No, I've got no objection to anybody having sex with whatever they want, but I just don't want to hear it. That's all. At all.
Thank you. That was, but I think she is clearly loving shoving this in Justin's face.
Yes. Yeah.
And the Lillian Miranda relationship is excellent.
Yeah.
And also it's fun to hear Miranda, and now that I know that Justin and Miranda are actually married in real life, I'm really enjoying hearing their scenes together.
Why did Lillian suddenly go, I can't serve that woman, to, oh, all right, then I will. There was no kind of explanation.
Because
she didn't know that Jolene had a breakdown about it all.
No, there was something, wasn't it? Because she decided not to at the funny old Easter egg, whatever that was. Oh, God. I mean, anyway. Whatever that thing was, the relay race, whatever. That's when she decided she couldn't stand in for Emma, wasn't it?
Yes. And then the next thing we know is, come along, Justin, because I'm due at the pub next week.
Yeah.
And he said, I thought you said you couldn't bear it. And she said, well, I've changed my mind. But we didn't know why she had.
Well, although it was a brilliant week, it was one of those weeks where you did feel like you'd missed an episode.
Yeah. Or because there was just a lot of, especially about the doctor, the whole doctor thing.
Well, not just that, but when Jolene... For some reason, Robert and Emma had got this massive news out of her, of all people.
Yeah.
Robert and Emma. And then the next thing you know, there was another episode after that. And then after that, the episode started with Kenton going, oh, you should have told me last, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought, oh, God, I missed the episode where she relays everything to Kenton. But
No, we never heard her actually relaying anything to anyone. I suppose because it would have taken up valuable time that was required for other purposes.
And I kept thinking, so I thought that on Easter Sunday, that would be when and all the names, Marky, because it doesn't sound very threatening, does it?
No.
But I thought Marky would turn up on Easter Sunday when she was in her finery. Then I thought it was when that he was going to turn up when her and Kenton had decided to have a love in behind the bar on their own. And then I thought tonight, Friday night, when Harrison was answering the door and Fallon was humming, you know, in anticipation, I thought Marky was going to suddenly get his way in and then, get pull out a pistol.
Yeah.
But there was quite a few moments like that this week where the drama didn't quite happen.
Yes. It was a bit like... It was a bit like one of those fireworks displays where they all go off at the wrong time in different directions and you're not expecting it.
And then you go,
oh.
Oh. Like that, wasn't it?
Yes. If you could sum up a week in a sound effect, it would be this, ladies and gentlemen. Do it again.
I also really thought that at the court scene, I thought, I was convinced Harrison's lawyer, Mr. Murray, was Chris.
Right. They were a lot of people said that. Yeah.
And it wasn't. It wasn't. No. It was a different actor. But honestly, vocally, they are exactly the same.
Yeah. Yes.
That was weird.
Yeah. No, someone else said that.
But good for the BBC for actually getting a different actor and not doubling up.
Yep. Yes.
Fair play. Thank you.
excuse me. Now, last week... You said something contentious.
Me?
You did.
Of all people?
Yes, you did. You of all people.
Oh, yeah. What did I say?
You said, why the bloody hell is Emma paying for Georgie's phone when he's got a full-time job?
Yeah. Yeah.
Some people agreed with you. Some people did not.
Oh, my God.
Jane Lowell said, my 25-year-old daughter is still on my phone plan. She has three part-time jobs and is finishing her dissertation. Yes, I think this will never change. Once she has a real job, I'll bring up the subject, but with student loans, plus she's on my healthcare at work and on my Netflix account, I'll be dead before it changes. I love listening every week. That was Rhea. Thank you, Rhea.
What I mostly meant, though, was someone so awful as George.
Yes.
Surely the most obvious thing to do would be take that phone away.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what Emma threatened, but... Yeah. You know, because Rhea's daughter is clearly lovely.
Yes.
And I'd be happy to pay for her phone as well. I'm clearly not going to, but I can see why Rhea would pay for it.
This is Michael Gorman who says, wishing to have an accurate diagnosis of the truth about George Grundy. This was sent on April the 1st, by the way. I hired the eminent behavioural psychologist Dr. Hans Nies und Bumsadese of Hochkleinstein, Austria, to listen to recent episodes featuring George. He has issued the following diagnosis. His unequivocal diagnosis is er ist ein selbstsüchtiger, hinterhältiger, amoralischer, geschwätziger Mucker. Roughly, he is a selfish, conniving, amoral gobby pillock. And I think we can all get behind you on that, Michael. Steve Barry said much the same. What a revolting little specimen he is.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone daft enough to be sat within a country mile of a set of cricket nets with their phone out is a muppet. It is asking for trouble. He should not be covertly recording someone without knowledge and permission.
Yes.
Also regarding the bull, and because we were saying why was that so serious? He said, as a license holder, Jolene has responsibility to make sure that licensing laws are not being broken. She can bar anyone for almost any reason she likes. Brad can buy himself a soft drink at the age of 17. And although they could have got doubt round it and probably no one would care, but George chose to double down and get abusive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
But he said that he thought Jolene was a little bit OTT in barring Brad. And then Steve says, what the hell is Emma doing paying his phone bill?
Thank you, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
We're on the same page there.
Yes.
Did they do any April Fools?
No, thank God.
Oh, they probably should have done. They could have easily wangled one in.
Mm.
They could have put Eddie doing something hilarious, couldn't they? Felt like April Fools passed me. But oh, no, they did mention it.
Mm.
They did because Justin went to see Miranda. And it's April Fool's Day. How appropriate. She said something like that, didn't she? Well, I've come about the tent.
And we also asked, why was Brad still hanging out with George?
Yeah.
And Kate Lloyd-Jones said, who else is there in the village his age, apart from the Button Girls, who he's trailing around after, isn't he? They're related and from a clan that believes in family, so he feels the weight of expectation to spend his time with George. It's unwritten Archer's law that children of the same age from the lower orders hang out together and get into trouble. See Teenage Will, Ed, Emma, Fallon and Jazza. And also he's too nice to tell George to F off. And then Kate says, by the way, why is Emma paying for George's phone contract? He's got a full-time job.
Thank God. I actually wanted George to win that Easter egg hunt just so that he could ask Tilly Button
and then
to
she'd say,
Gay Grey Boys,
get
and she'd say no and he'd have to take Brad.
Yeah.
That would have been quite good.
Actually, Kate, Will got into trouble because of Kate Aldridge as a youngster. Will and Ed, it was Kate Aldridge that led them astray, breaking into empty houses and drinking and that.
Yeah, because in a village, speaking from experience, Lucy, I know you think I grew up in Hampstead, but I actually grew up in a village. And we were really lucky that I had about, there was about 13 of us all the same school year. And 2/3 of us were at the same school.
Right.
So we naturally all hung out together. And then the other third were from different schools in the area. But by the time you're 15, 16 and having parties, of course, you just all hang out together,
yeah,
regardless of which family you're from or from which school you're from, because there's more people to snog.
Yeah.
So you just because a village is, everyone. So of course you know everyone who's the same age as you.
Yeah, exactly. And you work your way through them all, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I'd say about a third intermarried. Not intermarried, but but married. Yeah, which is quite a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, happy memories.
And I'm so glad you got out. Anyway. Kate Lloyd-Jones says... that's the wrong thing. The wrong thing.
The wrong trousers.
Pat Brown has headed this confused of Leeds and says, is Harrison going to get hurt by Markey and co? Will Fallon wish he had been thrown out of the police? And last week when Harriet said it was soap opera-y, Pat heard so potpourri, which she said doesn't help my almost permanently baffled state.
And so that could have potpourri. Two meanings. It could mean sort of fragrant or very religious.
Yes. Andrew Stewart said, in this day and age, it makes no sense that Harry would have a face-to-face appointment to discuss the results of a blood test. It would be done over the phone. For it to make sense, they needed to add the following line for Dr. Malik. Okay, that's the blood test out of the way now, so let's do that prostate exam. You'll get the best view from over here, Alice. Yeah.
Please stay, Alice.
Alice. I need you, Alice.
Oh, my God. You're helping me, Alice. Shut up! Go away, Harry!
At Buckingham Palace. Do you remember that?
Yes. And Alice.
Julie Bacon has headed hers, Harry the Plot Device. She says, so now we see the point of introducing Harry into the Archers. Not Alice's new love interest, but her dark mirror. As the saying has it, there but for the grace of God. Harry's fate could have been Alice's. That brutally honest conversation with Eve may well be the most sobering thing she's encountered to date. I just hope that Alice... Well, she did recognise that, didn't she, at the time? Alice, I think.
But that is a very good point, isn't it?
She said, I just hope that Alice can turn it into an even deeper gratitude for the fact that she managed to fight her way to sobriety without permanently alienating her family and friends, and that she can hold on to all that she's won back rather than sending her into some fearful spiral. My greatest current fear for her is in identifying with Harry's situation, she'll feel a misplaced and doomed need to be the one that tries to save Harry.
Yeah.
Of course she will, because she's an alcoholic, because everyone else has given up on him. Yes, fingers crossed that she realises that she's got to look after herself first and that Harry is not her responsibility. On balance, I think it's right to show that not everyone can overcome alcoholism and the awful toll that takes, not just on the alcoholic, but everyone else involved. It's really sad to listen to. That's exactly what I was saying the other week about if you go to a funeral, you want to be the corpse. If you go to a wedding, you want to be the bride. She wants to be, even though it was all disguised with the niceness and the I'll help you and I've got to help him because there's no one else. You never have to do anything. And you choose to because there's some payoff in it for you. And if you're an alcoholic, it's because it gives you hero status. It puts you front and center. You're right in the thick of it. You can forget your own problems by concentrating on someone else's. And you can be the hero of the story.
Well, she did that at the trial where she just didn't shut up.
Yep. And she did it when she actually cocked everything up so that there had to be the trial when she went racing out of the car to go and talk to Mum.
No, but then don't go to the trial. Or if you go to the trial, sit at the back and shut up and
but
leave
they can't not
Fallon and Harrison alone.
Everything is about them. Even if that's the difficult thing, because it's not like the big gobby showy offy, everyone's got to listen to me. I'm wonderful. No. It's almost the reverse of that. It's so awful. I'm forever trying to make up for.
Yeah, I'm always apologising.
Yeah, yeah, make up for some weird thing that, you know, for just not being enough. So everything has to be about me.
But then again, as well, if you are looking at a dark mirror, that's such a good phrase, isn't it? Then how can you not find it irresistible in that, you know, when you're looking at what might have been, almost can't leave it alone, can you? Sort of, you must become obsessed with it and sort of maybe have a bit of guilt as well. And,
Well, he said that thing, I'm not trying to make you feel guilty, which is what people say when they're trying to make you feel guilty.
Yeah. But I really, really don't want to have to listen to Harry's recovery.
I know.
I just don't think I can bear any more of this wobbly lips and, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it's so boring.
No, it is. It is.
I mean, you know, I know maybe we, I don't know.
Because it's one note as well. It's just it's
one
fever.
Note. Yeah, yeah, that's what it is.
The anguish. It's just anguish.
Yes,
it's funny breathing and tight voices and stress.
But also, it is, we are, as you said, straying into Rob and Helen territory. And I just can't be arsed with that. But then, I think it is Chris and Hannah are definitely going to get closer, because I think if Chris now, because obviously Chris is not going to be happy.
No, I'd forgotten about Chris,
that,
but you're right,
yeah, you know, clocking that Alice is now seemingly hanging out with Harry again.
Yeah.
That's going to cause Martha problems, isn't it? And oh my God.
And she said, just as friends and alcoholics have no idea about boundaries, I have no boundaries, so that won't be just friends and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And also, Brian's not there to help anymore now that he's completely loved up with sexy Miranda.
Carla said, I was a bit surprised when Chris turned up as Harrison's barrister, but overall I thought that was a great episode. I wonder if we're waiting for something horrid to happen at the ball now, perhaps the retribution from Marky, which will finally push Jolene and Kenton from the pub and Harrison into handing in his notice and starting his new life behind the bar. And the Harry storylines feels very real and tangible. What brilliant scenes with Alice and Harry's mum. I do feel quite keen for Alice to get out of the situation now for her own well-being, and I'd say, and ours, although that doesn't seem about to happen. Then she puts, P.S. I'm only up to Thursday, so caveat that it could, of course, all fall down by Friday. Yes, you always have to, when you comment too soon, you then have to calm down embarrassingly. So people have started to...
I did think by Friday, Marky might have made a reappearance. But again, they're teasing us, aren't they?
Yes, yes, yes. Every time the door opens, we're back to...
Yes.
You know, we're back to Hello Helen, aren't we?
Exactly, exactly. Because we're not going to be able to forget Marky's name.
No.
And
Marky Spencer. No.
Hello, Jolene. No, it was all a joke. Silly me. My doggies had puppies. It might all turn out to be just a dream, Lucy.
Vicky Horton-Turner says... she's still feeling a little bit queasy about Miranda and Brian's bedroom scene. It was all the early morning pillow talk, all that breathlessness, she said. Anyway, enough of that. What I really want to say is thank you both so much for your listening recommendations. The Barchester Chronicles and Love's Old Sweet Song, both hugely enjoyable, funny and poignant. Any more suggestions will be most welcome.
Ooh,
Vicky, you really should not have said that.
Yes, you should, because I'm just going to actually... I recommended this to my friend the other day. And she loved it. And then she sent me more recommendations. I can't think of anyone. But on BBC Sounds, there's an excellent, what used to be book at bedtime, called Black Butterflies.
Oh.
Please listen to it. It's set in, it's Sarajevo during the war. It's really,
is it a
really
comedy?
Good. No.
Sorry.
But it's sort of, it's read by, who is it? One of the brilliant, I'm actually going to have to look it up. Someone who's one of the best, a bit like Julia Aubrey.
when you're looking it up,
narrator, yeah.
Vicky says that she came across a social history of the Archers on BBC Sound.
Oh, yeah.
She says, I've no idea when I downloaded it, so it could be something you've mentioned. It's great to hear some of the old voices as well as much younger versions of current actors. Because Jo Richardson said she wanted to hear some of the old actors again. And find out what the old ones sounded like before they were replaced. Oh, Timothy yeah. Bentinck features, as does Angela Piper. Definitely worth a listen.
Social History of the Archers?
Yes.
On BBC Sounds. Sounds?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that. Oh, I've started listening to it, it looks like. I got about 2 minutes in and stopped for some reason. I'll definitely listen to that.
All the way
really
through
good.
This time.
All the way through. Oh, yeah, it's Fenella Woolgar who reads Spanish. Oh, she's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dreamy voices. Anyway, yeah, that's
she's
it.
In
I thoroughly recommend
she?
That.
Fenella Woolgar.
Yeah.
I love Doctor.
Yeah, which do you? Mm. I quite like it.
Mm. It's too unemotional. I like it because it's quite chippy and brisk.
Oh, Lucy, what? Have you listened to the Martin Jarvis doing the Jeeves stories? There's two on BBC Sounds, two new ones. Jeeves Live.
Oh, okay.
Because you love Woodhouse,
yes, yes. I've got all the Martin Jarvis ones on thingy anyway.
No, but these are, I think books. These are new.
Oh, okay. I will.
Yeah, and they were like live recordings.
Oh, lovely. Thank you. I'm going to find them. Thank you very much.
Can we just change the podcast and just talk about radio generally? Because there's so much good stuff. And I love having recommendations as well.
Yes, me too.
Because it is hard to find. There's so much content.
Yeah.
How do you I'm constantly just searching Poirot.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all
and
I
And trying
search.
To avoid subscribing to the whodunit. I wish they would do that. Anyway.
Oh, it drives me mad. That
I know.
But it's the same
because I forget and click subscribe and think, no,
yes.
Because all of a sudden I have 400 flipping episodes of rubbish I don't want to listen to.
But it's the same with the Book of Bedtime or whatever it's called these days.
Yeah.
You get a low, like
you don't want
thousands.
All that. You want what you want.
I want what I want.
Stop telling us what we want.
I don't want something that's not read by Fenella Woolgar or someone with a
like
smooth, velvety voice.
Now, settle back for this week's most incredible story, right?
Oh, yeah.
This is from Justine, and it was prompted by your comment about Ring doorbells.
Oh, and which we kept calling Ringo.
We didn't. One of us did.
You did as well.
No,
sure.
I didn't.
Oh, God.
Because I've got one. Well, I had one. So, yeah. Okay. Anyway. This is Justine's email, right?
Right.
We live in a small, narrow alley in a historical village core, so all footfall is directly outside our front door and living room window. Sadly, for reasons unbeknown to us, a man who lives three doors up from us began hurling torrents of abuse when passing our house. Including bitch, whore, arseholes, Nazis. My husband is German.
Gosh.
As well as bringing his dog specifically to our house in order to let it shit and piss all over our plants and doorstep.
Oh my God.
We then installed an app on an old smartphone, hooked it up to the window above our front door, and thanks to the house being so old and rickety and the glass of the window being so thin, it also picks up out sound from outside. Much to our amusement, it didn't take long to amass a delightful collection of takes, including not only the dog being dragged to our door and commanded to shit and piss, but also the man returning later that day with a friend and pointing out and actually bragging about how he'd bought his dog to do that on the nasty Nazi's doorstep.
Oh, God.
A few discreet shares of the video collection in the neighbourhood to those renowned for gossiping led to him stopping while walking past, and you'd think he'd learned his lesson. But alas, it continued every time he saw us elsewhere in the village. Our response to that was to then get our phones out and say loudly to each other, "Did you get that one?" "Yep, got that one as well." Thankfully, the abuse eventually stopped, but we continued to be amused by his obvious discomfort when passing our house or ourselves in the village. We can almost hear his teeth grinding, his fists clenching, and the veins in his neck bursting with rage that he can no longer express. It was a horrible experience, but I'm glad we found a way to navigate and put a stop to it.
God, that is... Oh, that's pretty horrible, isn't it?
It is. I'm amazed you go to the police, but then probably the solution that Justine did was probably...
Yeah, much more effective.
Much more effective, yeah.
Wow.
Because it's local disapprobation that's going to do it.
Robert would love that.
He would, wouldn't he?
Good old Robert.
Justine, give Robert a ring. Tell him how you did it.
Oh, he'll be all over
it. He'll be all over that like a tramp on chips.
Oh, I'm so sorry, though. I mean...
I know.
Good that it had a... Yeah.
Yeah.
Grim.
Now, Steve Parrott. Oh, no, this one is from Laurie, headed Aldridge Bosoms. Last week's discussion about the Aldridge's ladies heaving or otherwise bosoms reminded me of a story a nice lady I used to know told me about her husband. He was introduced to Tamsin Grieg as the actress who plays Debbie Aldridge. And the full extent of their exchange was as follows. John, no, no, no. Debbie is blonde and she's got big boobs. Tamsin, well, I'm sorry to disappoint. And Steve Parrott is very sad because I said I did not like parsnips. He says, oh dear, Lucy. And there was me thinking I could battle with Jeff for your affections. Oh. Not liking roast parsnips, though, is a red line. We will never steal away into the moonlight together.
No, parsnips.
You can try taking it up with Jeff, Steve, but I wouldn't recommend it on the whole. Now, do you remember last week's What the Hell is Happening Here?
Yes, I do. It was about the house.
It was.
That I thought Neil and Susan were going to buy. No, build. In the posh area.
Yes.
With the toga.
Yes.
At the party.
It was not. Oh. It was my first response. This is from Kate Lloyd-Jones. My first response was that Justin and Miranda were the ones trying to develop in Leighton Cross after the plans to buy Brookfield and build a bling mansion in its place. Local well-heeled residents obviously were against such development, but that wouldn't explain why Brian said good luck to David. Definitely not Neil and Susan. They built Ambridge View when the children were young and only had one possible site, the land Neil was left by Bill Inslee.
Oh, right.
And she also says, didn't old Chris sound like Josh? Yes, he did. He really did. So, James has explained and said, Brian and David were talking about a new site for the market.
Oh, right.
Cattle Market, a project which BL would later take on. Jim was moving into Greenacres and having a Roman-themed housewarming party. Do you remember? Toga party. That's what David referred to as a toga party. He gave specific instructions for authentic costumes and hairstyles to match occupations and status. Jazza turned up with a garden fork claiming to be a gladiator but ended up knocking down a table. Nigel and Kenton organised chariot races with an old wheelbarrow which disturbed the neighbours. Along with this, he prepared authentic Roman food which wasn't to anyone's taste, and all in all, the party didn't go well at all.
God, so it was that long ago that long Nigel ago. Was around.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Wow.
And now for this week's clip. Are you ready?
Oh, yes.
I need to do the music.
What the hell is happening?
What the hell was happening here?
More distinctive when I was growing up.
They were. That's what I like about my riding.
I remember seeing my first Bentley. Took my breath away.
It helps if you can recognise make and model, but as long as you record the time, registration and speed accurately, we can find any other information afterwards if we have to.
Well, you can always put the colour down, can't you?
That's right.
Unless you're colour blind.
Robert, we'll be in pairs. What are the chances of both volunteers being colourblind?
What I'd like to focus on now is taking the registration. You've used the speed gun, zap. Matey boy or matey girl's going too fast.
The speed limit, plus 10%, plus 2 miles.
That's right.
35 in a 30 zone, for example.
Yes, precisely. One of you calls out the number, Your partner records it using the police alphabet.
I love this. Lima Bravo to Juliet Alpha. Do you receive me, Juliet Alpha? Do you get it, Jenny?
Sorry?
Wasn't there a programme called Juliet Bravo?
That's right.
You're not giving yourself call signs. It's for recording registration.
She's a very good actress.
Oh, yeah.
The sooner you're familiar with it, the easier it'll be. You call out the letters and numbers.
Did she change after a few series?
It's laid out clearly, so if we can move on.
Harrison.
Yes, Jim.
I noticed you used Delta for D.
That's right.
I'd find the rest much easier to remember if we employed other Greek letters. Upsilon instead of uniform, for example.
Very handy if a chariot goes rattling past.
Well, if there's a choice, I prefer names.
Me too.
Coriander for C, Leone for L.
We've already got Oscar for O, haven't we?
Oh, yes.
Hold on. The idea is for everyone to use the same system so we don't get muddled up.
It'd be absolute anarchy otherwise.
Thank you, Jennifer. Yes.
Harrison.
Yes, Lillian.
This is all very interesting, but I'm discussing colour charts with decorators this afternoon. How long before we actually get to use the speed gun?
Oh, careful. They don't make them like that anymore.
I have comments, but I just need to go and let the dog out because he needs a wee. Hang on one sec. It turns out he didn't want a wee. He wanted to let me know that Jeff and the children have gone home and he's got no one to play with, so that's what he was sad
Cooper.
About.
We've been dog sitting for my and house sitting for my brother, and having a doggy around is so lovely. They're such good animals,
yes.
Aren't they?
Yes.
They're such. I was going to say such good people.
I think they are widely popular. Yes.
I can see why people get them.
Yes.
We love Nelly.
So anyway, lovely.
Oh yeah. Anyway,
what
sorry.
I want to say about that yes. is that harassment is a hell of a lot more northern now than he was.
Yes, because when he started in the show, he wasn't such a character.
No,
was he? He didn't.
Now he sounds like Paddy Watsit.
Yeah, I suppose it's just confidence, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he's more muscly now, isn't he, than he was then. Uh-huh. But that sounded like a scene you'd written. It's just there is nothing funnier than someone, an adult, trying to talk to a bunch of adults and direct them, and they are so uninterested.
Yes, and just wildly kind of missing the point. And yes,
darling, oh, how long, darling? Because I really wanted to put some dead salmon on the walls. And
I liked it when Brian suddenly said, Juliet Bravo. Her. Wasn't she replaced by another? Oh, yes, it was. You know. Oh, God.
Bran. Oh, that's such a good. That sounded like such
and
a good
Jenny
episode.
And Jenny just not getting it.
Yes,
because it was a joke.
Exactly.
And Jenny didn't really do jokes, did she? She's like, what? Sorry, I don't understand. What?
Darling, when are we going to get to play with the gun?
Was it a traffic calming thing?
It was. It was Linda. It was Linda introduced speeding after a speed thing after that we had a couple of episodes where you'd suddenly hear as somebody, you know, a car shot past and everyone would go, ooh, it's going much too fast, had reckless absolute madness, and then Linda was clearly a bit bored and decided to bring up a speed gun, and there was a rotor and she made everyone stand there like Wally's waving this speed gun
that's
around.
Right, I remember it. Oh, but
and the first
what a
person
good
that
scene.
Got nicked was Matt Crawford, as I remember.
Oh.
Yeah. And then Brian, because Brian kept getting, but it wasn't his turn to do it. Brian kept being zapped, as far as I recall.
Gotcha, darling.
Imagine just zapping your friends. 60 quid for you.
The roads around here are very, very scary because they're incredibly steep, some of them.
Right.
And we're now
sharp bends.
Sharp, very sharp bends, stone walls all the way, so you can't reverse without thinking that you're going to scrape the side. And tourists who panic and drive in the middle of the road because they're too frightened to go on the side, basically.
Yeah,
so it's a bit
I
of a,
would be.
And
do you have to beep when you go around the corners?
Yeah,
is it one
and,
of those?
And literally kind of very, very steep hills. And the other day we had, because the sort of the tourist season started now, we had a lady driving in a... She took the wrong road. She knew she shouldn't have done it. And she sort of got halfway up and then suddenly realised that it was the wrong road, the one she should not have been on, but it was too late. And she was in a motorhome and she got stuck on the second bend on a near vertical kind of thing. And she just froze and panicked. She just froze. She couldn't go forward. She couldn't go backwards. She couldn't do anything. And one of the locals had to get in the car and drive, get in the motorhome and drive it all the way up for her. Everyone had to move their cars out of the way to let the woman out. And she actually went on to the local Facebook community group just to say, thank you, I'm so sorry.
Oh, bless.
She said she was in tears. She was shaking. Oh, she had to go and have a hot cup of tea. afterwards, she was in. But she said, I never have realised. And everyone was muttering, well, there are signs. But anyway, no one said anything, obviously. But yeah, it's...
Oh, what a good community you got there, Lucy.
Well, you kind of have to do that because otherwise she would just bash up the entire... You just stuff up the entire village and then nobody would be able to move. So you kind of have to...
I wouldn't be able to do that. I would have frozen as well. I've retired from driving because I hate it so much. And in scary situations or situations where I just didn't know what the right thing to do was, I just stopped.
Right.
And couldn't move the car because you don't know what to do.
Mm.
Oh, poor woman.
Yeah.
Just don't drive. Get the train. Although, God, I've been getting the train this week, Lucy, because I've been commuting.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've been staying in the country. And the trains never go. Mm. They just don't go when you're in the country.
Yes.
They are delayed and then they're delayed again and then finally they're cancelled.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, I felt like such a Londoner, but I was huffing and puffing going, hello, I've got to get to London, guys. And there's no train.
I'm on a pencil. Can we just go?
It's a heavy pencil. Okay. So if I don't turn up, guys, I can't do the job. Okay. No one else can do it. Oh, dear.
I'm voicing a chipmunk. Can we? Do you not realise how important
not just
this is?
Any chipmunk, a mother chipmunk from Scandinavia, in fact. So, guys, it's so annoying when you're relying on trains. Oh, my gosh.
Well, Jeff's had a trains, planes and automobiles day. As he returned home this morning.
He should have texted me, Lucy, like I did with him. 1 o'clock in the morning.
What should I do? He got halfway between... He was trapped in a carriage with a hen do. No, some women who were on their way to a lunch out and it was 10:45 in the morning and one of them had already tipped a bottle of Asti Spumante down her front and was trying to suck it out of her blouse.
Oh, my God.
You can imagine the Prosecco breath going on in the carriage. Ooh. And he, so that was all fine. And he was successfully ignoring them until a tree fell down on the line in front of them. And they were told that they were going to reverse all the way back to where he'd started from, thus missing his flight and everything. So I was ringing local cab companies from here because he had no signal on the train to try and get a taxi to get into the airport in time. And he made it with 10 minutes to spare.
Wow.
So, yes, he was feeling...
Wow.
He said, I'm so relieved and I'm so tired. It's like a five-hour train journey and it's just horrendous. Anyway.
Oh, I can't believe he didn't text me. Because I would have texted you and Jeff. Going, just
I'm
help me.
Just ask someone I know. Oh.
Oh, my God. Poor Jeff. Yes. I would have been so stressed.
Yes.
And then I was actually, this is not very interesting. I'm telling you anyway, stressed, made me even more stressed.
Share the
because I was told I could get a refund because I was 2 hours late. Anyway, and I was told I could get a refund on my ticket. And then I got a paper thing that you filled out. And then it said, stick your ticket at the bottom. And I was like, yes, I kept my ticket so I can stick it at the bottom. And then just as I was high-fiving myself, the wind blew my ticket away onto the track.
Oh, no.
I know.
That's like a film.
I know. And it would have been a better ending if some handsome man had then gone and rescued him.
Track and then been
and then it would we would have been like that radio play with Rosie Cavaliero and Justin Edwards.
Yeah.
But unfortunately that didn't happen.
Okay.
No one did anything.
Okay. Apart from and then go back to looking at their phones again.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Why is that woman just staring at the track? Is she okay?
Just isn't she that Scandinavian chipmunk woman?
Her teeth are big enough. So, oh, my heart goes out to Jeff.
Yeah.
Thank God he met. That's incredible that he made it.
Yes, I know. He was as surprised as all of us, I think. Yes.
Anyway.
So, yes, so the lessons from today episode is don't even try travelling by train at the moment because they're either on strike or late or there's a tree on the line or
don't
something.
Don't travel by train or by motorhome.
Yes.
Would be my advice.
Yes.
Or up any hills.
And sometimes people travelling too slowly through a village is worse than them travelling extremely quickly through a village.
But always better, though. Always, always better. Better. Always
yes,
better.
Unless you're on a very steep slope in a motorhome. And now we need to cross over to Febreze's salon, where the ladies of Ambridge are having a spring makeover.
Kelly Marie, please don't put your Dairy triangle on side near depilatory cream, please. It is very confused. I saw Sabrina Thwaite smack her lip a bit thoughtful after. Where is list of old people in for Fabulous Febreze spring into new look session? I got it. Don't all rush to help. Who is first? Ah! Hello, Susan. Lovely to see you. Now, what are we thinking of in terms of cut? Is it trim or restyle?
A new look, Febreze. It's one of my 6 at 60, but it's now got a bit confused and I'm doing about 600 in 60. It's exhausting and I wish I'd never started it, but at least I can sit down for this one. I'm thinking Rihanna.
Are you? Why?
She's just had a blonde pixie cut and she looks fabulous.
Yes, well, that is because she is 36 and from Barbados. These are ands, Susan, not wands. How do you feel about Jane MacDonald?
Ah, her from the cruise ship. I can't stick her. All those teeth. You can't see a resemblance, can you?
Only to the ship. OK, when you think of yourself as an older woman, who spring to mind as role model? Who do you look at and think, oh yes, that is who I like to look like?
Fiona Bruce.
Or from Antique Roadshow, who say basic better best and wheel Ming vase around in a barrel?
Oh yeah, I think she's got real class. Could you do something similar for me?
Yes, I think, if I put in lots of layer and we all cross our finger and suspend disbelief. Who is next? Oh, Joy, how are you? You're looking style.
Oh, thanks, Febreze. It's mostly Jennifer Aldridge's cast-offs, but I've mixed and matched with some stuff from the Bring 'em By.
Yes, you look like Jelly Bean with legs. What are you looking for?
I'm stuck in a rut vis-à-vis makeup. I think I need to make myself more visible. I felt a bit quiet and overlooked recently.
Yes, I see. In fact, I didn't recognise your voice at first. I think the key to increasing your presence is shimmering radiance.
Oh yes, that sounds smashing, Febreze. How do we do that?
Mix a bit of eyeliner in with your primer and you will be pulsing with light like Belisha Beacon on Felbersham High Street. But do be careful with quantities, as when Auntie Cardboard tried it, there was some confuse with light aircraft. What colour palette are you thinking?
Muted pastels, really?
No! Think fruit pastels, not muted pastels. Bright jewel colours, like N-Night in Fuerteventura. If you do not come with epilepsy warning, you are do it wrong.
Well, I'll give it a go, Febreze. Nothing ventured.
That is spirit. You go, girl. Now, Miranda, what can I do for you?
I want you to tell me exactly what you do for Lillian Bellamy.
Yes.
And do that twice with added everything.
Okay, if you are absolutely sure.
Oh, I am, Febreze. I am.
Kelly Marie, take phone off hook. Prepare heavy machinery. It is a code red. We're going in.
Thank you very much. Jeff, Febreze, Harriet, and assorted other characters.
Thank you. Right.
How do you feel about Paganini? Or have you already eaten? Ha, ha, ha.
Oh, good one. Good one. Before we step in, before we dish up.
Oh, yeah.
Do we have to say something about the Patreons?
Yes, that we love them very, very much.
We love
them.
And
we're going to say a thank you to all of them next week.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yes.
So
and
we
also,
haven't.
We will do a thing soon, won't we?
Do a thing.
Yes.
Yes, we haven't. Yeah. We're not just taking you for granted.
No.
We love you.
You are always in our thoughts and we always feel very guilty about you. So we haven't forgotten you. Like Harry, Alice. We just call them all Alice.
Pause, Alice. Comma, pause, Alice. Full
and,
stop.
Yes, we'll do something soon.
Yes,
we'll do
we'll
do a zoomy thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But we thank you.
Yes. And we're going to read all of you out next week, whether you want us to or not.
Oh, we can do the song. Should we do the song?
Oh, God.
Yes.
All right, then.
There's
loads of them, though. That's going to be quite the song.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Bring it on. I'll do a song.
God.
Thank
all right. you. You won't. You'll forget until 6:45 on Friday evening and then have a conniption fit because you realise you've got to
all
make
I have to
something
do is tune my guitar. Doesn't take
and
long.
Think of a tune.
No, I'll just read them all out as Susan.
Okay. Oh, right. Okay.
You know.
There you go. You can have your name
with
read
guitar.
Out as Susan.
With a guitar.
What more can you ask? Okay. So we're going out with Paganini.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Courtesy of, well, bizarrely, Matt Rodriguez Payne's savage hatred of Andrew Lloyd Webber, which he told me all about.
No.
Yes. Do you know what? His school was doing a production of Andrew Aspects of Love or something, an Andrew Lloyd Webber thing. And Andrew Lloyd Webber stopped them doing it.
No.
Saying, you are within 100 miles of a theatre that is putting on that and you will take away my audience.
No
yes.
way.
Yes.
You're joking.
Nope.
Oh, that's horrible.
Isn't it? Just
that's actually the
ridiculous.
Second not very nice thing I've heard about him in 2 weeks. Because
oh.
I heard another thing last week that made me not like him at all.
Can you tell us or not?
No, well, I can't really. It wasn't really. It was just again a similar thing. He stopped another show in favour of one of his own, but it's been very devastating to this very successful show that was supposed to extend. But anyway, and it just feels really quite not very nice when he's so rich anyway.
Yeah. So if you have Andrew, Sir Andrew, sorry, Lord, whatever you are, Lord, Sir
Andrew of Lord of the Dance.
Yes. If you do have a vacancy for a Scandinavian chipmunk, then we have the
it
very woman
be
right
very,
here.
Very nice of you. Yes. it would be so nice of you. Hang on. It's hard, isn't it?
You're right. You're choking on your teeth there.
Trying to find some sort of voice that is just going to offend everyone from Scandinavia. It's quite a generic region, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
I mean, not generic, obviously. It's great. Yes. I mean, you know. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. Right. Well, I'll play it out with that. And then so we'll say goodbye, everybody. We love you very much. And we'll see you next week.
Good night.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.